There was an old man on his deathbed, and his wife of many years was sitting on the bedside with him and holding his hand. And he surprised everyone by propping himself up in the bed, and he started a conversation with his wife. And he said, "Sarah, you know, when I asked you to marry me, I hardly had 2 cents to rub together. But you married me anyway, and then I lost everything we had in the Great Depression, and you stayed with me. And then the war broke out, and I had to enlist, so you enlisted too as a nurse, just so you could be with me. And when I was wounded in battle, you were right there beside me, taking care of my wounds. And Sarah, we've been through a lot of struggles one after another, but you have stayed with me through every one of them. And now here I am on my deathbed, and the first face I see every morning is yours. You know what, Sarah? I think I figured it out. You're bad luck." Ouch. "I don't even believe in luck, and I hope you don't believe in luck either. But this rather pitiful story is by a guy who needed to look at life's ups and life's downs very differently than he was looking at them. What about you? What about you? What about me? What about us? Life is not perfect, right? You came all the way here to hear that. Life is not perfect, right? No one can promise you a carefree life. We need to accept that, and we need to grow together in how we look at life and what we see when we look at life. And God gives us some help in His holy word. Of course He does. And one of the most remarkable models for all of that is the Apostle Paul. Quite a man. He had some very difficult obstacles in his life. And today I want to talk about just one of them and learn from his approach to how he dealt with these problems. I'm leaning very heavily on Acts chapter 16. If you wanted to open your Bible and follow along, that's up to you. Paul was traveling great distances to be a witness for Christ and to start churches and to bring people to Jesus Christ. And he found himself in Turkey to start new Christian churches. But one night in a dream, Paul had a vision of a man begging him to come to Macedonia. And Macedonia was in Greece. And Paul was convinced that God wanted him to go there. Then that was not an easy task. I mean, it required a lot of organization. You've been on trips before. You know what it required. He had to get a lot of things together. He had to organize his helpers. He had to commission a ship and someone to sail that ship. He had to sail that long journey. And eventually he reached Philippi, one of the biggest Roman-led cities in Europe. And shortly after he got there, a demon-possessed girl started following Paul and Silas around. She was a slave. And she was owned by some men who were profiting off of her so-called ability to predict the future. Now, while following Paul and Silas around for several days, she was shouting so that everyone could hear. She said, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." But it says in Acts that Paul did not like that. Why not? Here's the answer. The translators of many of the Bibles got it wrong. She was not saying they are telling you the way to be saved. She was saying they are telling you a way to be saved. The definitive article in English, of course, is the. The indefinite article is a. And there's a long story there. Just look it up. If you don't believe me, just look it up, and you'll discover that many commentators have discovered this problem in the Bible, and many have corrected it. Now, of course, Paul did not like it, that she was saying a way to be saved. So what did he do about it? Let's read about it. Acts chapter 16, verse 18. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and he said to the Spirit. He said to whom? He didn't talk to the girl. He spoke directly to the demonic spirit that was controlling her. He turned around and he said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, it says, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Paul had done nothing wrong. In fact, he had done something very right, but things began to go downhill very fast. Verse 20, they brought them before the magistrates and they said, these men are Jews. They are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And you thought you were having a bad day. I don't know which is worse, to be stripped in public or to be beaten. They experienced both. Let's continue, verse 23. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. That word, I'm sure, was carefully chosen. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Now, that was just not any guard. That was one of the elite Praetorian guards of the Romans, the most loyal guards to Caesar. They were handpicked for their valor in the Roman army. They were experts in hand-to-hand combat, and they had been tested in battle. They had been proven to be victorious, and Paul and Silas were considered extremely dangerous criminals. That's amazing. Who deserved only the Praetorian Guard to keep them from following through with all their claims. Now, thankfully, I have never been in jail. And I hope I never, ever have to experience that. I can hardly imagine how I would respond if that should ever happen to me. And I imagine you can't either. You can probably just, you can't wrap your mind around it. And especially if one of us were thrown into jail simply because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we live in a country that allows us to worship the Lord Jesus Christ freely. And as you know, that is not true in every country in the world. Even today in 2025. But brothers and sisters, there are those today, even in our country, who want to take away our freedoms to worship God the way we want to worship God. And if you don't know that, then get your head out of the sand. You need to be alert because the devil is awake and alive and very, very active, trying to undo Christianity in this nation. There's a Christian organization called Open Doors Ministry, and it's an organization that published a report in 2022. It's actually less than 3 years ago that this report came out, so months ago, saying that the persecution of Christians has reached the highest level since the beginning of their accumulating data for the last 30 years. Among the worst places to be a Christian in the world, according to them, is Nigeria, India, China, Vietnam, North Korea, Afghanistan, and 50 more countries around the world. They said that 360 million Christians in 2022 faced harassment and discrimination or worse. 360 million. In just 1 year, in 2022, 5,898 Christians were murdered for their faith. An increase, they said, of 24% from just 1 year before. 5,110 churches were attacked. 3,829 Christians were abducted, which was an increase of 124,000% from just 1 year before. 6,175 were put into jail without a trial. 24,678 were beaten. 3,147 women were raped because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They called that the buried story of the year as far as the mainstream media is concerned. Are you hearing this? When we read about Paul and Silas, and when we just think about Jesus himself and what they all went through, it is too easy to think that this only happened in biblical times, in a place far, far away. Okay, here's more about what Paul and Silas endured. Their feet were placed in shackles. That meant they couldn't stand up. They couldn't walk, even to go to the toilet. A Praetorian guard was chained to Paul. Chained to Paul. And that guard was changed every 4 hours, all through the night. Interrupted sleep. And you thought you were having a bad day. Paul was, in fact, in prison multiple times and in various places, and at one point he was in prison for 2 years. How did he react to all of that? Here's just one example. While he was in prison in Philippi, he wrote a letter to his followers. And listen to what he said as it's recorded in Philippians chapter 1. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. The important thing is that in every way, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. That is what I call Paul's chain reaction. It's very hard for me to even fathom that kind of faith, that kind of courage, that kind of witness for Jesus Christ. Could I do that under those circumstances? Could you do that under those circumstances? Could you rejoice in the midst of all that? I don't think I could. Paul, yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Always looking at the positive. In other words, like Paul said in the book of Romans, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Brothers and sisters, that's us. We love him. We have been called. That's us. When life throws you a curveball, and it has, and it does, and it will, on what or on whom do you focus? What is your chain reaction? Do you focus first and foremost on yourself? On your problems? On others who may have been involved in the situation? Or on the Lord God Almighty? I think we all know the answer to that question. I think all of us turn on ourselves. We gaze at our navels. We think about ourselves first. I want you to imagine just a minute. This, some of you may have trouble imagining this, but let's just think it's true. Imagine for a minute that a government agent were to storm through those doors right now and come into this worship service right now and take us hostage simply because we sang some hymns and prayed this morning. And then imagine that they took us to the courthouse and they stripped us of our clothing, and they beat us with their fist until they drew blood. And then without a trial, they threw us into jail like they've been known to do in over 50 countries in the world today. What would you do? What would you think? What would you feel? What would you say? Now, imagine something much less severe. The doctor says surgery is necessary. The IRS says an audit is necessary. Your car decides to die on the highway. You fell and you injured yourself. What would you do? What would you think? What would you feel? What would you say? Would you rejoice in the Lord? I doubt it. If so, however, praise God. If not, then I want us to consider all this a wake-up call that we need to be ready for the next unwanted, unwelcome life adventure, because it's going to come. Back to Paul and Silas in the dungeon. This is Acts 16, verse 25. And I love this story. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Holy mackerel, even in those dire moments and circumstances, Paul and Silas were having a semi-private worship service, praying out loud and singing out loud and witnessing to all the other prisoners. Is that what you and I would have done in that situation? I doubt it. Let's continue in verse 26. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, so much so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Praise God Almighty. He made it very, very clear many, many times that worship of him should be our top, top, top priority. Are you listening? He made it clear. And right there is an example of a great reward, a great response, a great outpouring from God because of their obedience to his directive. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose and the jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are here." The jailer called for lights and he rushed in and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out. Did you hear that? The jailer, he then brought them out. He just signed a death sentence right there. And then he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Right there. Right there in another is another chain reaction. When you know that God is God, you know that, right? When you know that God is God, well, when you see the power that he has in life circumstances and the glory of his work all around you, what is one of the best questions you can ask? What must I do to be saved? And here's the answer. Nothing you can do to be saved. It's all up to Jesus. You can't do anything about it except turn to him and have him do his thing. And you know what Paul's answer was to that jailer? This isn't in the Bible, but it is in my mind. Paul now could stand up because the shackles were no longer on his feet. And he was standing, and the jailer probably fell to his knees. And he looked up at Paul, "What must I do?" And Paul, I can see him looking down and placing his hand on that man, and he said, "Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." There's no better chain reaction than to give your life to Jesus Christ. Nothing better, nothing stronger, nothing more sure. And I believe it's safe to say that this room right now is filled with people who have done just that. Hallelujah. But once you've done that, what is your reaction when the devil puts chains on you again? Because he has, and he does, and he will. If Kathy Bauer were here right now, she would say, amen. How strong is your faith, brothers and sisters? How weak is your faith? Some people choose to live life above the circumstances. Some people choose to live life below their circumstances. Which one are you? Which one am I? Which one do you want to be? The way we look at our problems is far more important than the problems themselves. That is such a profound sentence. I should say it again for those who are nodding off. The way we look at our problems is more important than the problems themselves. Some of you might be sitting there right now feeling very guilty as you're listening to all this because of the way you reacted to some of the chains in your past. And maybe how you acted did not honor God the way you know you should honor God. Don't fret. Just ask God to forgive you. Admit your failure to him. And you know what? He can wipe it off of your resume because he is in the business of forgiving. Don't you know that by now? That he can forgive. He has forgiven. He does forgive. He will forgive. Hallelujah. You and I have many things in common. And one of the things that we have in common is that we all have a past. Some of us have wonderful memories of the blessings of God in our past lives, and we give thanksgiving for those things. But then there are others who carry around awful chains of hurt, of betrayal, of harassment, abandonment, or illness, or mistreatment, failures of others. Heavy, heavy chains, whatever they may be. And those chains may be because there were others who sinned against you, or they may be because of sins you committed yourself. You're guilty. Perhaps sins of your youth. Can anybody identify with that? Do those past chains define who you are today? I happen to know the answer to that question for some of you is yes. Well, you are not unique. The world is full of broken people who were chained to their past memories. Here's some good news. I want to tell you that just like Paul and Silas, God can cause your chains to fall off too. Hallelujah. He can heal anything, including your memories. In fact, some people need to have those memories healed first so that their bodies and their emotions will finally get into place. Is that you? Well, what are you going to do about it? Sulk? Feel sorry for yourself? Keep walking through the mud that holds you captive? That's one choice. Or are you going to seek God and worship Him and ask Him, Lord, heal my memories? It's a little bit like an old-fashioned altar call, you know? You have to get up out of your seat and you have to come forward to give your life to Jesus Christ, a response that requires action on your part. So, if you need to hear this, I'm suggesting that you move from that dingy room that you may be living in right now to another room that's available to you, one that is filled with light and no chains. The key to that room is worship of Almighty God, worshiping the one who loves you perfectly. He wants to set you free. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord God, I pray that I have opened a gate that needed to be opened in somebody here who needed to know how much you love them and how much you want them to be whole. And I pray, Lord, that if they're carrying any chains, if they're hanging on to any memories, any hurts, that they can know that they know that they know that you, Lord God, want them to be whole and that you can heal them and you will heal them. So we come to you in the name of Christ with thanksgiving, with faith, with hope, with assurance. And I ask you, Lord, to take those chains off my brother and my sister. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.